I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. With me as always...
G'day, Tommy. It's Ben here. I'm very excited for the most exciting episode that we'll do in every year of that we do the episodes. It's huge.
Woo!
We're pumped. You're kind of breaking my flow there, Tommy. I had something that I was preparing to sort of launch into.
Your and, dream!
And, yep, I'll start again then, I guess.
Oh, my God!
Oh, boy.
Woo!
All right, thank you for that, Knox. I did pay you to say that.
Hello, hello, hello. That's what E3 stands for
yes.
in England.
Yeah.
My name's Adam Knox. Did you say your name was Ben Vanel?
I think I did at the start. Yeah, I'm Ben Vanel.
It's E3, baby. You're
E3
live in
Kings.
LA, Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy, you're in LA. You're at E3.
Yeah, I'm over here in Los Angeles. It's beautiful. A lot of Thai people over here, which I wasn't expecting.
Interesting. Suits? Like a lot of people in suits, like Thai
people? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's funny. That's good.
I thought California was a little more open collar.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they seem to have changed their currency from the United States dollar to the baht.
Public transport system in San Francisco, the BART.
And everyone's favorite American character, Bart Simpson.
Of course, so it does make sense. And yeah. California has been talking about seceding for a long time.
Yep, yeah.
Okay, also
you're in
I'm
Kosamui.
I seem to be in a suburb of Los Angeles called Kosamui.
Yeah,
Do something with that one, smart guys.
Is that Spanish?
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I'm in Thailand. I posted this in our Patreon group earlier, but for anyone who didn't see it, I went to an elephant sanctuary this morning. And they had a little video at the start of instructions of how to feed the elephants and everything. And they went into the interface of the TV to load up the instructional video and blow me down if I didn't immediately recognize the tone and the images on the screen as the Samsung model, the official model TV of the Filthy Casuals podcast. So,
wow.
Yeah, I can only surmise that the people at the Elephant Sanctuary are big fans of the show and that they've tracked one down. So that's
pretty exciting stuff. Did you pull rank and be like, all right, guys, I've got this. I've seen this before. You start changing the channel, changing the source input.
Just turning the volume up to 100.
I was kind of hoping that they'd have problems with it and then I could step in and be the hero of the group. How are you,
elephants,
boys?
Elephants are one of the few animals that I can't think of immediately as having had a video game mascot platformer character that was an elephant.
Oh.
Not off the top of my head.
I mean, there's got to have been a Dumbo game at some point, but that doesn't count.
No, I don't reckon there has to have been a Dumbo game.
Okay.
I reckon there might... Oh, sorry, I was thinking of Baba.
I'm Googling it.
No, they're Dumbo nice. Game.
Dumbo game.
Dumbo Game sounds like a good name if you're like a bad rapper.
Oh, yes.
What's up? I'm Dumbo Game.
Yeah, he's Lil Nas X's friend.
I'm Dumbo Game and I'm here to same. I rap in a major wame.
Okay, yep.
I am cool.
Yeah, yeah. And an elephant will never forget that awful rap.
You know what? That platformer game that we played on that Flash Games episode on Bandcamp.
Oh, yeah.
That had an elephant.
This is the only level.
We've got another Bandcamp episode up right now if you want to download it. It's a commentary of the 2005 movie Doom.
Yes.
Starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
If that's a dollar or more, if you want to pay it at filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, to find out the rest of the cast, you have to pay.
Yeah. I'm not going to give away any clues that a certain urbane man named Carl Urban is in that film and does a terrible job.
Oh, it's an awful film, but it was fun to watch.
Funny, surprisingly, commentary,
yeah.
I hope.
Yeah.
Also, we've got live show tickets on sale before we get... because there's not really any news this week, so we've got to drag this out.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of personal stories this week.
We're doing a live show in Melbourne on the 13th of July. Tickets are on sale for that now. Yes. Go to filthycasuals.com.au is the easiest way to look for tickets.
Correct.
And we've got one in Sydney on the 21st of July, which tickets are not on sale for just yet, but they will be, and we'll let you know.
Yep.
But yeah, live shows and...
Well, Filthy Casuals World Tour.
FilthyCasualsWorldTour.biz
yes.
will not help.
No.
Don't go there because I'm going to buy it after this and make it porn.
Mm-hmm.
Just of me.
Okay.
That's
the biz you're in.
So yeah, Doom, live shows, go and have a look at them if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But boys, we don't have time for that bullshit.
Yeah.
What? Because what's been happening, Tommy?
I've been in the pool. I bought some fake sunglasses.
Oh, okay.
As in they don't have lenses, or in what way are they fake?
Are they cardboard?
Oh, yeah, it's an apple. Someone sold me an apple and said these are sunglasses.
yeah, it's sunglasses. A pair of sunglasses a day keeps the doctor away. You know the old saying.
Mm-hmm. They won't even sit on my nose without falling off. They're no good. They fail in every task of being a sunglass. They fail.
But they're the best tasting sunglasses you've ever owned.
Oh, delicious. Beautiful. Certainly the most citrusy sunglasses I've ever had. I, the other night, got quite drunk and then came back to my room. I fired up the iPad and I watched a live streaming presentation from beautiful Los Angeles, California.
Wow. It wasn't Adam Knox's porn website that you loaded up, was it?
Honestly, probably more releases coming out of me than out of E3 this year.
Yeah. Both presentations really milking it.
Certainly less cheering, that's for sure.
An orgasm, someone going, woo! Halfway through one, they do take me a while.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was light on the ground. It's E3.
We're doing E3 this week.
We're doing E3 this week. We're the only video games outlet bold enough to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, every year I love sitting down with a cup of hot cocoa, pouring out that hot cocoa because I thought it was hot chocolate, but it didn't really taste the same.
Yeah, yeah.
It was too natural tasting and I want that artificial shit.
Yeah.
And then watching live streams of the E3 press conferences. Been doing it for years.
Yep.
Probably... 1 year.
Sure. Yeah. Between 1 and 3.
Genuinely, probably about as long as I was able, had internet that was capable of doing it, and they were live streaming them, which is what, probably like 12 years now or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe more. And
because it's been around for like 25 years or something.
For ages.
Yeah.
And they used to be more like business focused and a lot of here's how many fucking PlayStations we sold and whatever.
Yeah.
And they became more and more consumer focused. Then they became this sort of big event where stuff would get surprise announced.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was always sort of happened. And then...
it became too much of a consumer event where they started selling tickets. It's for something that actually wasn't fun to be at.
Then they pulled it back.
Yep.
And they had a lot of big announcements of games that wouldn't come out for 6 or 7 years.
Yes.
Which are still in this E3.
Yes.
From like the 2014 one or whatever the fuck that was.
Yeah.
And now they're at this weird point where they have to do it, but it seems like nobody has jack shit to show this year because of those new consoles being around the corner.
And they've priced people out. A lot of developers are not choosing to present there on the floor because the stalls cost too much to actually run.
And then, like, it seems like there was that Variety article where they were saying it was kind of mismanaged and the company behind it was a little shitty.
Yep.
Or at least, like, some of the management choices were shitty.
Mm.
And so, whatever the reason, Sony decided not to be here at all this year, which, honestly, preferable to being there with 4 games like last year.
Yep.
And so this year seemed like it might be a bit of this coming into it, but pretty light on anything too new or exciting this time around.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think that's the reaction that most people have had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because almost everything here was either known about or like at least in terms of, oh, we know that Obsidian is making a game called The Outer Worlds, and we've seen like a couple of bits and pieces. So it was interesting to see some of these things go in depth. But the big E3 bullshit thing of like, whoa, I can't believe Final Fantasy VII's getting remade.
Right.
This being like, what, the 19th E3 that's shown up for?
Yep.
Is, I just didn't enjoy it as much this year as an overall experience. Yeah. Your boys, takes, please.
Well, it's like you're saying that.
I'm going to close it out.
Are you saying that Sony not being there is preferable to them only showing four games like last year? Like, that's probably true, but also it's weird how much just them not being there felt like it did make a big overall impact on, because that's such a huge company to just not be there. And even just preparing to do this recording, just looking through the list of everyone that was there, like, you do notice this big hole. Like, even if they were only showing off a little more of Last of Us 2, or if that Death Stranding trailer from a couple of weeks ago, if that had been held over, like, that still would have been something. Like, that still would have given it a little bit more oomph to, like, get that date in the middle of this week of E3. And I can see their reasons for not doing it, but I do think that that's probably a reason that it felt like it was a bit flat overall, because you do feel the absence of this massive company just deciding to not be in it. And it does really feel like, oh, we're just really now watching this ancient, you know, conference that people are slowly deciding to just not bother with anymore. Like, this feels like it kind of is on its last legs.
For sure. I can see what you mean there by noticing a big hole. And if you want to notice more big holes, go to Filthy Casuals World Tour.biz and you can see a few more big holes if you like.
Is there an obligation when you get the domain .biz to have it be in some way business related? Like, you don't often see...
Business. It's business time. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, right. They ask for money at that website. You can certainly PayPal.
Yeah, I've got a Venmo.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
But I kind of agree, but at the same time, I wonder if Sony being another one of... Because how about we just go through what actually did happen here first?
Yeah, do we want, I mean, let's get Ben's overall thoughts.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
My overall thoughts are, I've never really bought into it as much as you, I know you do, Nox, in terms of being hyped about it as an event.
Sure.
It's, I think for me, it's always just been a series of trailers that I watch the next day or the 48 hours later.
Yeah.
But there have been some exciting announcements, and, you know, I like video games.
Uh-huh.
I like the theater of the industry as well. I certainly feel like the response generally this year is a big wet fart.
Yeah, I've heard wet fart be used to describe this.
Right.
And if you're interested in more wet farts, you can go to filthycasualsworldtour.biz. But
I definitely have enjoyed it more since doing this podcast, and just the fact that it sort of centralizes all the discussion about games into like one week where, you know, our online activity with the people that listen to this, it all, there's a big boom in it, and sort of everyone's having these discussions all at once instead of it being a bit more staggered, is exciting. Like, I've always liked that sort of side of it, that it does, that it unifies discussion a little bit more.
Well, I used to love it back in the day when, like, you know, video game magazines would have their big E3 report, one issue, and it seemed so sort of mystical to have, you know, I remember seeing, like, Zelda Gaiden that was coming out of there, and it was like, what even is this? This looks so weird. Mm. And it was Majora's Mask in the end, which is great. Mm. But, like, I think getting to sort of look at that. But, yeah, the more they've gone on, the more it has become... I don't like... I don't know if you call it hype culture or whatever. I don't
the
like
the news cycle sort of thing.
Well, and the wooing, the fake enthusiasm, or it comes across to me as fake or forced, or there's a willingness to be enthused more than a genuine reaction to half this stuff. And it really turned me off this year as well, especially because there was a lot of stuff that didn't seem great.
I don't recall that ever leaping out to me as much as it did this year. And I'm wondering if it's just gotten worse, or if I'm just noticing it more for whatever reason. But
I think it's gotten worse. I think it's it's culture. It's happening in culture.
Yeah.
It's really strange. I think with this, with E3 in general, my thing of not really getting hyped for it is there is so much video game news and discussion all year round. Like for me, it doesn't necessarily feel like this is a crystallization of actual news and releases, because there's constantly stuff, like every single day. that we're hearing about video games.
And there used to just be more come out of this, I think, is the right. thing. So it isn't, right. you're right. And maybe it's a good thing that it isn't this like fulcrum of the year in terms of that stuff now. But there was some stuff, and I did like some stuff. And we're just going to go through and basically talk about the press conferences that have happened at this point, kind of what do them in order, but not talk about everything.
No.
Because not everything interests us, and just kind of pick out the things that we thought looked cool.
I mean, if we did every single announcement, we would be bored and it wouldn't be a good podcast. So
disagree. We're doing it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to head off any criticism at the pass.
So first of all, from the PC Gaming Show, let's talk about Griftlands.
Okay. Now that runs on an AMD motherboard.
Wow. Mr. Computer doesn't know anything about computers.
I don't.
Well, I don't know anything about my organs. I don't know how the heart works or what it wants. Anyway.
See more of Adam's organs. Good. World tour, not beers.
So, yeah, all the press conferences happen before the show technically opens. They've all been done by the time we're recording this.
Mm-hmm.
EA was first out of the block.
Yep.
I didn't watch this one because I knew I didn't want to see anything here.
Mm.
Basically, they showed gameplay of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order was the only really notable thing for me.
Yep.
Did you guys see that?
I did. I thought it looked good.
Yeah, right.
I thought the character looked shitty.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people have said. A lot of filth in our group have commented on the fact that it kind of looks like an annoying guy that you wouldn't want to be.
It's strange because it's a model of a real actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like, makes me discount that just because like,
yeah,
I don't want to criticize someone's face.
Sure, yeah. But I think, yeah, it looks fun. It looks like Uncharted with a lightsaber, honestly.
Yeah. It looked a little flat to me. I wasn't that enthused by it. I don't know. It looked like a pretty standard looking kind of third person action game. The type that there have been some bad Star Wars ones before.
Mm.
And him cutting people with the lightsaber and then just going like, ouch, and falling over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a lightsaber should go through a person.
Yeah.
That should be the noise that they use.
I mean, it was very similar to how it was displayed in like Jedi Academy and Jedi Outcast.
Which you kind of ignored because it was 2001 or whatever.
I guess, yeah.
It just looked a little weird and stilted to me for some reason. It didn't. There was like one weird bit in the trailer where the dude like flew away on a rope that was legitimately funny.
Yeah,
looking like it just looked kind of awkward and I don't know. It didn't seem exciting to
me. It certainly wasn't the most exciting bit of that game.
Mm.
I'm assuming to show off.
Who knows?
Because it was a lot of like walking down quiet corridors and like walking through quiet ravines and stuff.
You'd hope they'd have a bit of Uncharted style stuff where you've got to climb one of those fucking AT-ATs or whatever and do some shit. But I don't know. Do you see it, Tommy?
I didn't watch this. No, I'm just looking at the list of what EA announced, and a great example of what we're talking about of stuff being announced that, of course, we already knew was coming was just them doing a big reveal of FIFA 20.
Yeah.
Using E3 to do that, it's like,
I can't believe they made another one.
yeah. But no,
resurrecting a once loved franchise.
I didn't.
FIFA 19 left me with so many questions. What's offside mean?
I didn't see the Star Wars thing, but that seems to be the overall impression I've gotten, is that people think it looks kind of cool, but that they chose to show off a kind of weirdly dull section of it.
Mm.
Yeah, and I like Titanfall 2, and that's pretty much the same people who are making it, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that does still have me interested in it, but I don't know. That looked like, if you had just shown that to me and not, I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
I would have guessed it was another kind of like Force Unleashed level of like,
right,
kind of game.
Yeah. I think I just want it to be good.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Same. I want all of these games to be good.
Yes.
Yeah. I hope every game that's ever made from today onward is fantastic.
It'd make our jobs easier.
It'd make them harder because I want to play them all. I quit everything else that I have to do and I die of not eating.
I mean, eventually we all quit everything else we do and die, so...
Oh, shit.
Maybe it'd be nice to play a bunch of fantastic games on the way. But yeah, I have not a lot else to say about EA.
Yeah.
Personally. So
Microsoft jumped up on the Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You're
talking about them like they're a comedian at a gig.
Yeah, they dropped in.
Yeah, they jumped up, they did five
Didn't games. Do a lot of new... and didn't really show a lot of. So, yeah, they had a bunch of games.
Mm.
Like, they did show a big... I think they said they had 60 games on the stage or something.
And, like, you know, skimming through these all will be probably at worst fine and at best fantastic games. Like, there is a good bunch of games in here.
There's a fair few that I want to see, but their way of going, like, by the way, of course we're making a new console.
Yeah.
It's going to be more powerful, whatever. Here's the people making it, but we're not ready yet.
Yeah.
Was weird. It was like exactly the same thing they did with the One X, where they're just like, power is the most important thing.
Yeah, and this will be the most powerful console ever made.
Yeah.
So, okay, that sounds good.
Pretty vague, pretty like nothing-y, I don't know. Mm. Like everyone kind of knew they were making it anyway.
Yep.
But kind of cool that they acknowledged it rather than just like not really. I mean, I guess they had to because Sony did the same thing.
Yes.
We're getting to a weird part where like, consoles are just like, well, yeah, of course we're fucking making another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And of course it's coming out next year?
Probably. I think they said holiday 2020, maybe. Yes.
Yeah,
I think
they did.
Might have given it a...
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a strange reflection of their show to have an event where, yeah, they've announced their new console, but even that is just so boring. Like, there's no real information in it. Is that... That name for it, so it's the Scarlet, that's still a code name? That's not even what it's going to be at retail? I mean,
Project Scarlet, the same as...
Right.
Yeah, the same as when they did Kinect and everything, that was like some other fucking word, and I can't remember. Right. Scorpio was the One X.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, I get having to... What you're saying about, you know, Sony have sort of said they're doing theirs, so they have to jump in, but still it's like, yeah, if you're using this platform to get up and just reveal the code name... It's just like, it's so dull. It's so disappointing.
Well, they have got a whiteboard somewhere in the Xbox headquarters with two big blue words or two big blue titles circled in red, each of them, and each with an equal number of arrows pointing to them.
Yes.
One of them says Xbox 2 and the other one says Xbox 720.
Yes, yeah.
And they are just arguing daily about which one to go for. The office is split directly in half, like Two-Face's house.
And yes.
At the moment, they can only agree that Project Scarlet is the code name.
I'm sure the thing that you guys really want to talk about is Cyberpunk 2077. I guess that seems like that's been the biggest takeaway of the Microsoft show outside of the official announcement.
A game we have already seen far more interesting footage of a year ago.
Yes, yeah.
This sold me less on the game than I was this time last year, or especially August last year with that 40-minute long.
Do you... because of the writing of the cinematics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just... this... if this had been all I'd seen of this game, I wouldn't be as interested in it at all.
I think I agree. Nothing is going to quell my hype for this game, though.
Yeah. Well, fucking release date of like April 2020, something like that.
I think so, yeah.
Was pretty unexpected.
Yeah. Mid-April 2020.
See if that happens.
Mm.
But, and then obviously the big thing for them was bringing Keanu Reeves out and being like, he's in the game as well.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Well, I mean, we talked about this, I think, last week about how I hate this thing of having real actors in games.
Yeah.
I mean, Keanu Reeves already seems like he's always been in every game. So it's...
he is what shows up when you go to create a character.
Yes.
It's just Keanu Reeves' blank face there.
I think he is a game. He was born in a game.
Do you reckon that he was always in this game and they were hiding it? Or relatively recently?
As in, it's like after John Wick became a meme.
Exactly. They took a whole bunch of money, gave it to him and said, we're going to replace this model with your face.
Yeah.
And can you say 40 lines into here? Apparently, he's going to be quite a significant character. He's like your sidekick for the whole time.
Yeah, that's... I don't think I like that. Because of the thing I said about it. And we talked about it in our Facebook group. Some people were like, it feels like a desperate move from the gaming industry to want to be like movies.
Yeah.
And I think that's the feeling that I get from it. It's like, I'd rather not.
It's like when like Friends or whatever would be like, and Tom Selleck's in this show now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah.
I mean, Hideo doing it, you kind of expect because it's Hideo, but then when just other companies are all going, yep, celebs are just in games now, then it feels weird. You know, there's like one specific guy that it's kind of fits his whole vibe so well, but when it is a deliberate kind of marketing attempt, it's just like, I mean, this game already has so much hype around it because of the aesthetic and the look of it and who it's being made by that the theory of just feeling like you need to chuck Keanu in there to get interest, I don't know that I buy that because it doesn't feel like it needs it at all.
I completely agree. Yeah, it's the most sort of hyped game in the industry. I don't think they needed to do this at all, but they must have fucking billions of dollars. Like,
yeah, and there must be some chart somewhere that says game plus Keanu equals more dollars.
Yeah,
in some way, or else they wouldn't bother doing it. But yeah, it doesn't really make a difference to me either way. But them giving a fucking like big pre-order edition, whatever, to that guy yelled out like, "You're breathtaking!" to Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Do you think people are saying that's why everyone else was yelling for the rest of the conferences all the fucking time?
No, I think it's a weird psychological thing that's happening now where everyone's an idiot.
I wanted one of the fuckers to come out there and be like, "You realize this is heckling what you're doing. This isn't like joining in.
Yeah.
This is you yelling at someone on a stage to distract them. None of these people are performers in any way. They're like studio heads and like designers.
And constantly having to pause and stop. Yeah. And there'd be like all these planned like things, graphics are going to show up and all this stuff that people are just interrupting.
But then I feel like the Ubisoft ones have always been like, and we won't bitch about it for the whole episode, where they have a bunch of paid people. Do you remember that year where what's her name from Archer was like, what's her name? Aisha Tyler was like the host.
Yeah.
Asked that guy, like, "Who are you dressed as?" He's like, "I don't know. They just paid me to wear this costume."
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
I did enjoy that. But at the same time, like, fucking having people clap doesn't make me more excited about your game because I'm not fucking a Pavlovian dog.
Yeah, yeah. It's there's the paid people, and then everyone else who yells out is like the people at a Q&A who ask an annoying question that's about themselves and then say a bad joke.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the personality type, I think.
Keanu, my question is, if I was in the Matrix, would you be able to dodge this? Yes. And then he gives him the finger.
Yes. That's perfect.
But Cyberpunk still, based on last year, looks cool.
Yeah. I've watched that 40-50 minute gameplay video a bunch of times and it looks fantastic.
Word is they're showing another similar one to press there and they'll probably release it to the public later this year.
Yep.
Right. Same again. The Outer Worlds looked really cool to me. That's the one by Obsidian that just looks like Fallout.
Yes. Yeah.
Sci-fi future planet hopping Fallout.
Yep. Yep.
They're the people who made New Vegas, which a lot of people consider to be the best one of those modern Fallout games.
Yeah.
They're the original makers of original Fallout. I think it looked kind of cool.
Yeah. We've already seen a bit of this, haven't we? We saw this a few months ago, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was in from that first look. I think it was cool.
Probably going to be like fucked and the shooting will be bad, but the writing will be good.
Yeah. Yep.
What else was here? Honestly, Microsoft fucking Flight Simulator really jazzed me up.
I don't think I saw specifically Flight Simulator.
So there's a new Flight Simulator.
Okay.
It's
and they were flying so close to the ground and everything looked so 3D modeled and good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want out of a flight game, is to be able to see the world.
Well,
from the comfort of my own masturbatorium, which you can view at Filthy Casuals World Tour .biz.
Flying close to the ground, better than flying close to the sun.
That's true. Mm.
So my prediction, going to be a good game.
Yeah. There's not enough pilots out there, so they've got to like spark interest in the industry again by getting Flight Simulator back out there.
Well, Obama is going to continue his drone strikes, so he needs pilots to pilot the drones.
To be fair, if Obama was doing drone strikes now, that would be very crazy. Like, they were already bad, but if he was doing them now, holy fucking shit.
Staging a secret coup via drone strikes.
Jesus Christ. A secret coup is what a pigeon spy does.
In East Berlin.
What else do we have here? Psychonauts 2 doesn't look good to me.
I've not played the original, but people froth on it.
Yeah. Oh, a Blair Witch
game? Oh, so that's
game?
A big deal, isn't it, that they've got they've acquired Double Fine. That was one of the announcements. Yeah.
Double Fine haven't made a game that I've enjoyed very much ever.
I think I'm in the same boat.
Do you know what they are? They're a bit like they're a bit like Tim Burton in that they've got this like sort of people are like, oh, that's a big deal. They're doing something. When it's like, when was the last time they did anything great?
Mm, totally. Monkey Island and Edward Scissorhands both came out in the same year, I believe.
Yeah.
So coincidence? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But not relevant? Definitely. Battletoads looks like fucking shit.
It looks so bad.
Dragon Ball Kakarot looks like it will be bad as well to me.
I didn't see any of that.
Just like a Dragon Ball adventure game, but I think we're back to Dragon Ball games being shitty again.
Right, okay.
Gears 5, the way they did that was fucking poor.
Yeah.
I did not like the look of that game after this, and I want to play that game heaps.
I was when it was first announced and we first saw some of it, last year, I guess.
Probably, yeah.
I was like, I'm going to buy an Xbox to play this game. Mm. And I'm no more interested than I was then, that's for sure.
A bad trailer for the single player campaign, which was just the main lady's head moving around a bunch and her doing different expressions,
yeah,
which looked like a bad acting reel.
Yep.
And then a fucking lame looking co-op mode they were saying as though it was a brand new thing when it's like, oh, like 3-player Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, right.
So it's Left 4 Dead, 3-player Left 4 Dead. Here are some wrestlers underneath the stage to explain.
Yeah,
3-player Left 4 Dead for some. I don't know. Just a poor showing from that. Mm-hmm. I thought. The
Phantasy Star Online 2.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah,
that's like from 2012 or something, and it has been a Japanese only MMO, or maybe not Japanese only, but certainly hasn't been in English. But yeah, cool.
Yep.
Fine.
Gears Pop, still one of the worst things that's ever been created.
But easily ignored.
Yeah.
I want to buy one of those new Elite controllers. I want to a big fucking piece of metal in my hands that costs too much money.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to see me with a big fucking piece of metal.
In something.
Filthy Casuals World Tour.biz. So Elden Ring ended up being real.
One of the few real highlights in terms of like a new game that looks good, interesting property, interesting story behind it.
A shame that it had leaked.
Yeah.
Like that did take some of the impact out of it, but that's not necessarily their fault.
It's not their fault at all.
George R. R. Martin and the From Software did Dark Souls, making a big open world Dark Souls style game set in like a high fantasy setting.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds fucking awesome on paper.
Yes.
And probably on video game disc too.
On ones and zeros.
And on the ones and zeros, it's DJ Fuckwit. What's up, everybody? I'm an idiot. And then closing it out with, again, a really poor trailer, I thought, for Halo Infinite.
Yep. Yeah.
Doing the same thing as Iron Man in fucking Avengers, the most recent one. Guy stuck on a ship, dying, whatever. Master Chief shows up outside the window somehow. He's like, dunk, 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 hello? Mm-hmm. And then that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're saying Halo Infinite's going to be this big change for the series and like a sort of reinvention and all this stuff.
Mm.
And then you show that like a kind of poor looking, not poor, but like not captivating or
unoriginal
story. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it reminds you of Halo 5 and you're like, well, okay, we'll fucking see.
Mm-hmm. But so you will play that game no matter what.
100%.
Yeah.
There's nothing that can make me not.
Yes.
But I thought this would be the moment to show something, especially when you've just talked about your new next gen console and say, here's Halo Infinite running on what the Scarlet thing will probably
be.
Yes. Yeah. There were no wow moments in this conference, I'll say.
No.
Like
it was solid. Some of the games looked good, but they were all a lot of them were known properties. And yeah.
Like we've in terms of, I mean, like the presentation of them, there was nothing that was, like you said, captivating. There was nothing up until now, in terms of what we've spoken about, where it was like that was presented well, that was cinematic, that was, you know, that had a narrative to it in terms of how they showed it to the audience.
Yeah.
It's all pretty much just, here's a trailer, here's a trailer, here's a trailer.
Which is kind of like, if that was a stream in that didn't have any sort of expectations behind it, that'd still be pretty cool probably.
Right.
Or if just like the Xbox YouTube channel went, 60 trailers just got uploaded.
Yeah.
But the theatrical kind of nature of here's these big E3 reveals. I like the corny fucking, oh, and just one more thing.
Absolutely, me too. That's what I wanted from this year's E3.
Yeah.
And there was almost none of it.
No. Like, it's so pointless at a thing like this to announce your new console if you're not going to show something running on it. Show people something of what they're playing when it comes out. Like, you may as well just not do it.
Yeah.
Especially when you're the fucking company who has a new Halo game to try and sell it. Mm. All the Game Pass stuff that they mentioned is pretty cool.
Yes. That's the thing about Microsoft's one is, like, there's not really any negatives except for the fact that it wasn't a theatrical, mind-blowing experience.
Right. But all the game, yeah. or not all the games, but, like, they have solid games and they've turned that corner pretty, I think, a lot of people wouldn't think of them as it's a TV box company now. They've got some solid games. They've got relatively cheap ways to play them, or interesting ways at least.
Yep.
And it was okay, and some of the games are good, but yeah.
What I did like about the next one, that is Bethesda, is that they tried to be interesting. They just had very little in terms of games to be interesting with. Like, they had Todd Howard come out and be like, now I'm going to do a speech and put in a couple of jokes and here's a fun transition. It's just that they were talking about fucking Fallout 76 the whole time.
And I don't think he copped it enough.
Yeah.
Right.
He came out, it sounds like you agree, Tommy, that like he was, I expected them to be like, hey, we fucked it. We made you pay X amount of money and we couldn't get you a fucking canvas bag, let alone a game. We released your addresses to the internet. We doxed our players.
Yeah.
I fucked your wife.
Yep.
Me, Todd Howard, I said, you see that wife over there? You can fuck her. And I went and did it.
Yep.
And I don't know. He went like, thank you so much to our players for our feedback. And we want to let you know that we're providing you with the best game that we can. And 30 people playing our game means that those 30 people are being nice to each other. So it's actually kind of a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Fuck that.
Their PR team worked overtime on that whole presentation because it was very much like, hey, remember we're people? We're a company made up of people.
Totally.
Please don't yell at us. Like, we don't get everything right, but we're trying hard.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, sure, I agree with that statement. But that's not what you're here to do.
Fucking Exxon oil spill coming out there and being like, actually, penguins are dicks.
Yeah.
So
and the oil makes them like slip faster down the beach. So it's actually good for them.
Penguins love to go quick.
Yes.
Sorry, Tommy. You sounded like you wanted to fucking pipe up over there in a different country. Well, too bad. We're moving on. No. What did you want to say?
I'm 3 hours behind you guys. So I'll just say it at 6 p.m. local time.
Sure. Hell of an editing job coming up.
This is where the hooting and hollering in the middle of the conference was at its most obnoxious and grating for me personally. Well,
because it seemed completely unjustified.
Yeah, exactly.
People love Elder Scrolls Online at the moment.
Yeah, but they don't love Fallout 76.
No. And that really did seem like family members cheering.
And Elder Scrolls Blades.
And we've been doing comedy for years. We can hear when friends and family members are screaming when they shouldn't be.
Yep.
Or laughing too hard.
I think the lamest moment was they do a reveal trailer and then the two guys that are on stage announcing it, they come back from the trailer and the guy goes, that's right, we added a fucking battle royale mode to Fallout 76.
As if
it's like the sickest move they could have done. It's like, and swearing in it as well. It's like, are you for real?
That's a great call, Tommy. That I think is the lamest moment of E3 this year.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And people hooting and hollering after that.
Yeah.
Fucking Wolf of Wall Street motherfuckers.
It's Wolf of Wall Street motherfuckers and it's juvenile adults
who
still think that swearing is cool.
We got a battle royale. I mean, I said fucking Wolf of Wall Street motherfuckers. I like to swear.
Oh, and I quietly wooed about it. So,
adding a fucking battle royale to Fallout 76 is like, 54 players. So we even fucking fucked that up, you fucking fucks. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Ghostwire Tokyo looks kind of cool.
It looks awesome. I think it looks cool. That looks like a fun original game. I'm really interested in that game. Yeah.
I played a bit of The Evil Within.
Yes, right. Because it's the guy from Resident Evil.
Original Resident Evils.
1 and 2 and
something like that.
3, yeah.
I don't know exactly. That could be cool. Didn't really see what it was.
Yeah, but, I don't generally like... I'm not... the biggest fan of Bethesda's kind of aesthetic and how they do things, but this looks sort of this looks completely removed from what I kind of view as their sort of typical style. Cool aesthetic, cool idea, funny way of revealing it where they have a guy come out who then introduces a girl, and that girl was weird where she's like, you know, she's not the greatest English speaker, and you know, it was this weird thing where like people were kind of like patronizingly cheering her, you know, I don't know, that
I
again,
thought she had some charisma
weird.
Though, like,
sure,
after,
oh, totally, yeah,
we got a fucking 50 players, right. We thought of it, you fucks.
Yeah, a guy wearing a bowling shirt and losing half his hair. But,
I mean, which isn't, like, that's fine. It's just, like, don't play it up for this shit crowd you're trying to cultivate of, like, woo, everything's awesome. We're Lego people.
It's, I mean, like, there was another guy later on who was there to talk through the gameplay of one of the, Final Fantasy VII, who just, like, and it's not his fault, but he just looked like the least cool person in the world, you know? Like, he was a fucking 37-year-old guy wearing a leather jacket and glasses. And, like, make great games. That's what your job is. But don't try to put on a presentation swearing every second word as if that's going to be impressive. It was just a lot of cringeworthy stuff.
Everyone should come out on a motorbike and then hit a jukebox to start playing the trailer.
That, you can wear a leather jacket. Just take your glasses off. That's honestly all I need.
I don't know. Are we cynical?
Yes.
Cool.
But that's not inherently bad.
Commander Keen looks like some bullshit, and I used to love those games.
I hated that.
And it's a mobile game too. Yeah. That's so dumb. Yeah. I like... When they were saying Commander Keen's back, I'm like, you know, this could be kind of cute. This could be kind of interesting. A little bit of disposable fun. But then it's like, yeah, it's this dumbass mobile game. It's like, who cares? And this looks bad.
Oh, the aesthetic was awful. That and Battletoads. Yeah. Like, they both belong in the same shitty, like, Saturday morning cartoon knockoff box.
Well, and that's what they're trying to be, sort of.
Newgrounds style.
Yeah.
Wolfenstein didn't really do much. I can't really remember what even they showed, but I liked the story of Wolfenstein 2.
Yes.
That was fun.
So they showed Cyberpilot, which is the VR version,
right?
Which could be fun.
Yeah.
VR games getting better and better. Youngblood, yeah, I don't know. I'll play it. I still haven't... Oh, no, I have started playing the new Colossus.
Right.
And I was into it, but I was playing on Switch and it was way worse of a port than I thought it was going to be. But no, I'm still in on Wolfenstein. It's still one of my favorite franchises, I would say.
So here's the real shit.
Mm.
This is the game I think I'm most looking forward to playing for the remainder of the year.
Rage 2 DLC?
That's the one, baby.
Are you talking about Deathloop?
I don't remember what Deathloop is.
What are you talking about?
Oh, that was the guy who had to re-loop his day.
Yeah.
Doom Eternal.
Oh, yes.
I'm talking about motherfucking Doom being back, looking just as sick as the first one.
It really does, yeah.
Motherfucking, we put a fucking battle royale in fucking Doom.
Yeah, people swearing is very lame, but demons and shooting them and blowing their heads off.
This game looks awesome. I loved Doom 2016.
We all played and liked Doom 2016. You played it, Tommy?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah. I think we're all in on Doom.
Nothing like reinventing the wheel or whatever from that other one. It doesn't look like, but
I was thinking as I was watching it that when we remember before the 2016 one came out, we were talking about it on the show, and all the trailers made it look so bad, and we were just sort of laughing at it, thinking like the whole sort of vibe of it seemed very lame, and then we all loved it. And it's funny because I was watching the trailer for Eternal going, if I hadn't played the first one, I would think this looked like complete shit. Like I would think this just fell into the same category of like, look how lame this is. But having the context of how great the first one was, I'm like, yep, just more of this. Sign me up.
Yep, completely agreed. Sense. It having that, not necessarily a self-awareness or an irony, but like going far enough that it became enjoyable rather than awkward and cringeworthy is, it was so, like an amazing thing to pull off. Speaking of amazing things to pull off,
filthy casuals.
Facebook.com. What a grift to have pulled off on the world. Doom looks fucking great, but obviously we'll talk about that at the end of the year. And guess what? We're going to have similar things to say about it that we did to the first Doom, is my guess.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When's that out?
November 20th or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. The rest of the year, in terms of games for like that were pitched to come out for the rest of the year, not heaps of them that we're talking about here. Even I think Outer Worlds is this year. Doom and Wolfenstein are both this year. Borderlands is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of it from, and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. What we've talked about so far, I think they're the only.
Yeah, everything else is early next year to late next year.
Mm. Oh, and Gears 5. Okay, heaps of them are coming out this year. Whatever.
There's a lot of games coming out.
The PC gaming show I didn't watch.
Neither did I. I honestly didn't know it was on.
Out of this sort of list of games here.
Vampire Masquerade Bloodlines 2 will be cool.
I did watch some footage of that or like a trailer.
Mm.
Looks along the lines of the first one.
Yeah.
Which I'm so... what's the word? Happy? That
I think cynical.
A sequel to that game is getting made.
Oh, I remember reading a bit up on the first one after we talked about the revelation that there was going to be a sequel.
Yeah.
The writing of that first one was so nuanced compared to games that are coming out now.
Yeah.
Even. I'm very excited for the sequel.
It probably won't hit the same notes that the first one did, just because that's the nature of it. But that looks cool. And Baldur's Gate 3 was a big surprise.
Yep.
People who made those Divinity games, I loved those first two back in the day. That won't be out for a while, but I think it's really cool that that's happening.
Yeah, me too. It's a kind of game that I used to love. It was probably my favorite kind of game.
Yeah.
I'm keen to go back in on that.
So then Ubisoft was next. Oh, I'm having a look through. So there's really only personally two games out of this that I'm interested in. They had a lot of Rainbow Six stuff.
Oh yeah.
More Division, what's coming later. That Ghost Recon thing with John Bernthal.
From The Punisher.
The Punisher. The bad cowboy from Walking Dead.
Yes.
So other than all those ones, which if you're interested in those, better sources than us.
Mm-hmm.
Mustard, for example, a good sauce.
Is
it a sauce or a topping?
I'd say a condiment.
A condiment.
Yeah.
What do you reckon, Tommy?
Condiment.
All right, cool.
Thanks for checking in.
I reckon soy is rapidly climbing my list of favorite sauces.
Soy is a good sauce.
Incredible for cooking. Very handy. A soy?
Salt.
I mean, good. It's very salty. Yeah.
I think just salt is one of the best tastes. We fought wars and shit over salt. Why do humans like salt so much? What does it give us?
I don't know.
What does salt indicate that is in a food that our bodies are like, more of this?
It's something because it's a mineral. Right?
Yeah.
So it's something about what our body needs.
Minerals?
Like that. Yeah.
But we don't need, because if you eat too much salt, famously, you get dead.
You get heart disease.
You get
and
fat
stuff.
Or you die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Someone tweet us. Why do we love salt so much?
What? Salt. I'll start with the one we won't talk about for as long. Gods and Monsters look cool. That was the Breath of the Wild knockoff.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Sure.
By the people who did. Some other open world, Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Right.
They're making this one. Looks like an absolute ripoff of Breath of the Wild, but go for your lives on that.
Sure.
Because there's not going to be another one for quite a while, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
But then...
I agree, and I also didn't watch the Nintendo presentation.
Watch Dogs 3 looked pretty cool. Did you see any of Watch Dogs 3, Tommy?
No, I did not.
Thanks for checking in. Ben, what did you think of Watch Dogs Legion?
Yeah, it looks good. I mean, as with a lot of these, I'm going off the previous game.
Right.
Because that's what I have to go off. And 2 was a fucking awesome game. It was much more involved than it should have or had any right to be. It had a lot of stealth stuff, as well as the tech, the puzzle solving, the open world stuff. Like, it was a really complicated but simply presented game. And I'm, very excited for the sequel.
So the big pitch for Watch Dogs 3 is that you can recruit... I think they've said that everyone in London is like simulated and generated and you can recruit them all or at least a lot of them.
Yeah, it's implied all, I think, or, you know, like marketing wise.
Yeah, then they can die if you get killed. You aren't really a character yourself. You're just playing as all these resistance members around London.
Yeah.
With future post-Brexit apocalypse London is a cool setting.
Set like next year.
Yeah. I don't know. The Watch Dogs games never really smacked me in the teeth for some reason.
Well, the first one was bad.
Yeah, right.
It was. I think it was an objectively bad game. I really didn't like it.
I just didn't really get far into either of them. I just went like, okay.
Right. I think, yeah, the second one is worth persevering with and worth playing before Legion. Cool. I have faith that they will execute this concept properly.
It seems crazy.
It does, right?
For them all to have different voices and fighting styles and stuff, like you'd assume it's sort of a mix and match of X number of assets that they have.
Like the decoder ring for the Monkey Island game where it was like the top half of a pirate's head, middle half and the jaw.
Like a dress me up Barbie whatever thing. You know, I mean, those like you mix and match the heads?
Yes, yeah.
I don't know how long it could possibly be before you start noticing the same things again and again.
Mm.
And when you're like, oh, that's the same voice as before, but now it's this other guy. Will it break really? If they can do that sort of thing and make it cool, then obviously that would be cool.
Yes.
Tommy, did you watch any of the Square Enix conference or any of the stuff out of there?
What did I see? I saw all the Final Fantasy VII remake stuff.
So
that's got a date
stuff.
Now, which...
What did you think of that? Yeah.
I'm still on the fence about the new combat and everything. Like, I have been enjoying playing the original, and I've talked before about how that the Final Fantasy XV combat and the Kingdom Hearts combat I'm not so into, so I don't know that I'm going to enjoy that changeover. But it's at, when's it out? It's the start of next
March 2020. Year?
Third of the third, 20th of the 20th.
Yes.
Yep.
03032020.
Much sooner than anyone really expected, right?
Well, yeah, kind of, but this is a portion of the full game as
it
well.
It is. That's my only little hang up here. Yeah. So I think that it looks great. I love the combat of Final Fantasy 15. And
this looks a little changed up from that as well. It looks a little more action focused in a good way.
And there's like the pause or the slow time stuff,
which looked fucking cool.
It looked great. And like the implementation of like the materia and the magic stuff from the original game looked great. Like it's a smart way to do it.
It looks like they've expanded the story and the scope of the game as well, which seems like a crazy thing to do when you're remaking a game that big. But the bits where you're walking around Midgar. And there's a lot more people around. Yeah. It's sort of streets you haven't seen. There's like a couple of scenes in there that weren't in the original game. Mm. That stuff's all cool.
Also, I think the adaptation of a lot of the original, like the monsters and the setting, it's like, honestly, it's how I would dream about doing it. Like it looks amazing.
Big problem though.
Yes.
What if only 20% of this game ever gets finished?
I mean, surely... this has got to be a 16-hour portion of the game.
Because they've said it's a full game in its own right. What we've made here is absolutely worth selling for full price, which is what we're daring to do.
Yes.
It fills up two Blu-ray discs, sort of, even though fucking heaps of games do that.
Mm.
So many games are over 100 gigabytes if you install them now. So it's like, well, cool your jets.
Yeah.
That ain't that cool.
But
Show me something cool. Show me money. I'm fucking the wolf of fucking Wall Street over
here. Hell yeah. It's weird, but every indication, including the fact that it's bigger than a disc, is that it's a big game.
Yeah, this seems like they've made the Midgar part of Final Fantasy VII its own game.
Mm.
But what does that mean for the rest of that game? Which I don't think I'm interested in this project unless all of that exists.
Does that mean the next portion of this game takes 7 years to develop?
Like I think that takes infinity years.
Yeah.
This seems like such a move of like, we've bitten off more than we can chew.
Mm.
We're dropping out of this project. Here's what we've done.
Yeah. Or it means we got heaps done and there's so much more. You know, like I don't know. But even if it's just Midgar and it's like 25 hours of single player Final Fantasy VII, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm sure there's something about it being unfinished technically that really makes me not want to touch it.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't always, but they announced like 3 years ago it'll be episodic. So it's, I don't know, the fact that it's coming out and it looks good is a positive.
Yes, I think just if they said a little bit more about, and here's the progress where we're at with the other parts and we know what we're doing and we've got it laid out.
Yeah.
The fact that it seems like they're kind of trying to talk around that, I think that's maybe the bit that's making me nervous. Like, if you're going to start something, make sure you get, you know, to a point where it's completed.
And all right,
if
you want to see someone get to a point of completion, for listening, guys.
Make sure that you go to Filthy Casuals World Tour. We both had something to say there.
Yep, something to say there. Yeah, I don't know. I think that they have avoided a lot of the skepticism that you're showing, Knox, by making what they've shown to us look very good.
Yeah.
But what they've shown is a portion of a portion of the game as well. Like, yeah, almost everything that we've seen is from the first, like, hour of that game.
Yeah, yeah.
On the PlayStation version, so I don't know.
They haven't shown the end of the game in the trailer.
No, but they haven't. That's true. But
who knows? I mean, maybe
that game's been out for 20 plus years. Mm. So at the same time, what's the rules on that as well? And like, yeah, when we're talking about that, what do we do about sport? I don't know.
Yeah.
If they're tweaking it enough a bit, though, where by the time you finish that segment of their remake that they're putting out, if they tweak it a little bit to make it feel kind of closed off in a way that if you were playing it for the first time, not being familiar with the original, that to you it feels like a complete thing, then I guess it doesn't matter. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Kind of. I don't know if I
like
agree,
if it ends
it
if
sense.
It ends with a to be continued, then yeah, that's lame. But if it if they just find a way for it to, if you can still play through that and get a sense of resolution for just that segment that you've played, then I don't know that it's that big of a deal. Because for me personally, I kind of think like I'm only just now playing the original. So by the time I get to this remake, I won't have too much distance from having played it for the first time anyway. And I don't know that I would want to then play through an entire game again remade. I feel like a significant first portion of that would be enough for me to feel like, well, okay, I've gotten my fix of this. I don't need to play through the whole entire thing again.
And I think there's nothing innately wrong with like a deliberate trilogy or whatever, but when you're going into the first part of that trilogy, it helps to know, oh, the next Star Wars episode will be out in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just that I don't trust them to finish this.
Mm.
The fact that what they've shown does look so ambitious, you know, it's like, it's incredibly cinematic. There's a lot of sort of pre-rendered stuff. There's like, and when you think about the rest of the game, knowing how different it is.
And it goes way further than the so like.
Yeah. But I think it's a fair point, Tommy. If like, I can't imagine a way narratively for it to be a satisfying single part, but that's because I know the rest of the story.
And if you made significant changes to it, I think that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Why not completely remake it and just go like, what would we do with the story if it was the same basic thing but changed? But just knowing that it is probably planned to be multiple parts and we have no idea about the scope of them or when they're coming, that just makes me not interested.
Yeah.
Mm.
I did see Tyler in our group. He's a longtime fan of the show. He's a D&D compatriot of mine. He brought up the fact that he wishes it was turn-based combat still, which I think is a fair call.
I mean, same as I think with every remake, that game exists already.
Sure.
So do something new. Why not?
Sure.
Speaking of doing something new, Final Fantasy VIII is being remastered too. Hooray.
Good game, Final Fantasy VIII.
It's great.
It's got, I was listening to, as we talked about, I think on the bonus episode last week, the scores of a bunch of them, if not all of them, are on Spotify.
Yeah, they've all been put up, I think.
I was listening to the score for Final Fantasy VIII. It's maybe the best one.
Yeah, it's a good-ass game.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been out for 20 years.
How much are they, what are they doing?
I think they're just putting it out again the same as 7 and 9.
Okay.
So it's
they're changing literally nothing about it.
Well, the thing with that game was always that they lost the source code.
Right.
That was like the rumor that the reason that it hadn't seen the same re-releases as all the others is because they couldn't do it
as easily.
They
couldn't make it, yeah, right.
So it looks like maybe they're, because they apparently in that trailer, I didn't notice this, but I saw people pointing out, they didn't show any of the pre-rendered backgrounds, just either the animated scenes or a fight scene where there's none of the, you know, static pre-rendered backgrounds. So they might be some kind of issue that they're trying to work through, but obviously it seems like they have some idea of how to do it.
Yeah.
But
I mean, they are releasing it. So
it's so easy to play that game right now if you want to.
Yeah.
Mm. And then they showed the Avengers game.
Mm.
I thought this looked like a huge fucking piece of shit.
I hate the character models. They look fucking stupid.
They look a bit dumb. I thought it was really weird to get those actors out to talk about, like, well, here's how I got inside the mind of Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
A character a lot of people don't really know about in the modern fucking day and era. But they didn't really explain what the game was. It looks like it's a fucking co-op action game.
Yeah.
Class-based sort of thing where Hulk or Black Widow or whatever effectively works as a class.
Mm.
And you're doing sort of co-op missions. It just looked shitty.
Yeah.
The graphics were poor. It really seemed like they were showing it earlier than they would have wanted to possibly as well, because like such a vague impression of what it actually is.
Yeah, that's been a lot of the response I've seen in our group. People are like, I like the Avengers and I was excited for this game, but I don't actually know what this is now.
And the buzzwords that it evokes or what it gives the impression of being seems like the worst direction personally they could have taken it in.
Well, the best directional buzzwords are to infinity and beyond.
They're my favorite buzzwords.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it being like a kind of co-op action.
Team Fortress 2.
Or more like Anthem or something like that.
Right.
Where it sort of seemed like single player kind of missions or something. Maybe it's just because Anthem still has a bad taste left in my mouth.
Yeah. I mean, I'm personally not interested in that kind of game you're describing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Same.
Yeah.
And after Spider-Man, I think, as well.
Right.
On the PS4 Spider-Man, it not being or not appearing to be in the same vein as that.
I mean, being either an open world action, third person action game with a single player story, or being a linear single person action game.
Yeah.
If it's not either of those, I'm completely out.
Yeah. And they were talking a lot about like more heroes getting at it in the future. So it seems like they want it to be a service based thing, but they'll all be coming for free. So what else are they going to make you pay for in that fucking game? What's the bit with
the hats?
Yeah. So yeah, that was Square Enix.
I think that was the end of E3, right?
There was one more. Oh, and one more thing.
Oh!
Now, Tommy, you can sit this one out because I don't imagine you're going to have heaps to say because you've been pretty chatty this episode. But
yeah, I'm tucking it out.
Well, and the setup is so weird with having to do them while Ben and I are in my house and you are fair distance away.
All the way over in Los Angeles.
But I bet that you enjoyed watching the Nintendo Direct. Am I right?
Yeah, this was a good one for me because it was easy for me to watch because it was at the end of a night of stuff that we had to do. And it was because it's – so it was 2 a.m. there, right? And so that means it was 11 p.m. here. So it was kind of like perfect timing.
Right.
For me to, as I mentioned before, be pretty smashed in bed as I was watching it.
So let's go through this one. They started by saying, what did they start? Did they start with the Dragon Quest announcement thing as Smash Brothers DLC?
Yes. Yes, that was
but
the first
thing. But over the course of it, they announced him and Banjo-Kazooie.
Yes.
Yep.
Dragon Quest here and Banjo-Kazooie and new Smash Brothers characters.
I felt stupid for
not ever having guessed the Dragon Quest guy.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that was a heavy rumor for a while, a couple of months ago.
Right.
In so far as one of the few characters from gaming that isn't already in there. So, like, who else is left?
Sure.
And immediately with this one, you go from a week of, as we were talking about, brutal conferences to a just 40-minute edited together streaming presentation, like. You know what I mean? Like the difference just really stuck out of just being able to clip through stuff without interruptions of people hooting and hollering.
It might be that those presentations, like you said, are just a little old-fashioned now.
Mm.
But good fucking cool choices of DLC characters. Great reveal, especially for Banjo-Kazooie.
Yes.
I really liked that little video.
I already knew it was like there was a little fake-out in it before I watched it. And then I watched it and it sucked me in anyway.
Yeah, right. That Duck Hunt thing.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Great pair of characters.
Oh, yeah.
Love that bear. Love that bird.
Yeah. Yeah, they both look like they're going to be good characters in the game. I did think that there was going to be some kind of announcement of a Banjo-Kazooie re-release or something tacked onto the end there. But yeah, that's fine.
I guess Microsoft still owns that and they're not... maybe one day. Who knows what the fuck Microsoft is going to do these days.
I mean, Microsoft and Nintendo are well in bed together now.
Yeah,
so.
Minecraft is on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Luigi's Mansion 3 looked cool.
Everyone's going nuts over Gooigi.
Gooigi is the man of the moment. Played by Keanu Reeves. Gooigi is cum.
Yeah,
that's
that
why
was...
people are joking about him, right? Because of the cum thing?
I'm assuming.
If you want to see Gooigi, go to filthycasualsworldtour.biz.
Very good.
It's Yeah, this was a weird one because it got to the end and then there's... I find it so bizarre that there's no date for this. Aside from saying 2019 when it's the middle of the year. I thought that was... I can't work out what the reason for that is.
Yeah, right. Because it was Animal Crossing that was pushed back.
Yes.
Yep.
Right, yeah, Luigi's Mansion 3 is still coming out in 2019, hey? Interesting.
Just say December or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they're going to have their own Luigi's Mansion Direct. Maybe they're getting, like, too comfortable with the Directs where it's, like, the week after it's come out, they'll have a Direct about it or something.
Right.
Yeah, my theory is I think that the Animal Crossing... So, yeah, big news from that was that Animal Crossing has been delayed until next year. Mm. And I have a feeling that that... was maybe a pretty late choice that's kind of caught them off guard, and there's potentially a bit of scrambling of, oh, okay, well then where do we put Luigi? And I also think, just to jump ahead, there was right at the end, a trailer for a sequel to Breath of the Wild just saying it's in development. I have a feeling that that was potentially chucked together pretty quickly to cover the loss of... you know, to cover the blow of having to go, hey, look, Animal Crossing's delayed and not coming out this year because that's such a big game. I feel like that was maybe the Breath of the Wild thing was maybe to placate people a little bit.
That makes sense. And it worked if that's the case because having that closer after the closer.
Yeah. It's one of the better one more things of E3s. Like, we all love Breath of the Wild, a sequel. Of course, we're into it.
I mean, like, no... surprised that there's going to be another Zelda game. It's seeming like it's going to be a direct sequel set in the same landmass.
Did they said sequel? Like they say sequel.
The sequel
Breath of the
to
Wild.
Zelda Breath of the Wild is now in development. I think is the phrase.
Yeah. So it's not just like another Zelda game. It is a sequel too.
It is a straight up follow up. My guess would be same world 10 years later or whatever. They're rebuilding. Mm-hmm. There's a new evil under the castle or something and there's a dark world version of that map. That would be probably best case scenario if they're going to reuse that map.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I explored the fuck out of that map.
Mm-hmm.
I know it like the back of my dick, which you can see at filthycasualsbiz.worldtour. And...
Zelda, potentially a playable character, people are speculating because...
That'd be cool.
The people are saying... In our group, because her hair is shorter, because, you know, fully animated playable characters, long hair is bad for clipping.
Right.
So they clipped her hair down. Maybe you're going to be able to play her, which would be a cool... That would be a cool addition to the sequel.
And the Switch wouldn't be powerful enough to sort of fully model out what a character's long hair looked like. The Witcher 3 is coming to Switch.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
It's odd
That's
to
wild.
Me. I don't... It's going to look... Hunt. It's going to look bad.
But I think they're just like, yeah, it will.
Well, I don't want it to look bad.
A lot of people won't care, I guess.
Well, they should.
Nah.
I'll make them. I'll make them care.
I don't know. I'm interested to see how it runs. Maybe it will be just an enormous fucking pile of shit.
Mm.
But give it a go.
It's a good game. Like, that's... Yeah.
It's a fucking amazing game.
It's a nice thing about the Switch that it doesn't have to live and die on these third-party games going really well at this point. It's a good console that's going to be fine.
It's the equivalent of doing one of those portable versions of a game that used to happen way more often, where there'd be like a Game Boy Advance version or whatever that was like paired back but essentially the same. Like those Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
Remember Tony Hawk 2 on the Game Boy Advance?
Yep.
This feels
I loved
that to
game.
Me. Where they've said it's going to run in like fucking shit ass resolution.
It's going to be 240p.
I think it's like 540 or something.
Oh, actually?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Like less than you'd watch a YouTube video at. Mm. And then when that's in handheld and when it's docked, it's 720, but scalable. So it'll go down from there.
Right.
So it is going to look bad by today's standards, but it's on the Switch.
Yeah.
Which I think if you get into that handheld mentality.
Yeah.
is a sacrifice that's worth making, yep. possibly for a okay version of it. Those Mana games came out. Who gives a shit?
Trials of Mana looks all right.
I really didn't like Secret of Mana. I've played it like last year.
Oh, fuck yeah. No, neither did I, actually.
I really thought it wasn't a fun game.
It was a bad game.
Link's Awakening remake still looks fucking awesome.
It looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
Word out of E3, news fresh off the show floor,
yes.
is that it runs really poorly.
Really?
That doesn't surprise me because it looks beautiful.
Yeah. So we'll see if they get that together in time. But apparently it is like noticeably bad, especially for a Nintendo demo. And they're the ones who released Breath of the Wild on the Wii U.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
and that's out on...
huh?
That's September 13, I think that's out. Middle of September. Right. Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Panzer Dragoon remake, that's pretty cool and surprising. Other than that, a couple of things we already knew about. I still don't really know what half of them are. Daemon X Machina, Astral Chain, all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Can't really get a firm idea.
I think Astral Chain looks great. Yeah, I'm really excited for that. I liked the trailer they showed whenever it was a few months ago. Mm-hmm. I thought this was cool to get a bit more of a sense of the gameplay of it. It just looks like a Bayonetta-style action game in a weird Japanese futuristic cop kind of setting.
Now, yeah. Tommy, can you just do earmuffs? Put your hands over your ears for just 1 second. I'm going to talk to Knox about
something. Oh, God, here we go.
Okay.
I think it looks fucking shit.
I don't really understand what it is, and I haven't formed an opinion on it yet because it's still confusing to me.
Fair enough. All right, Tommy, take your hands off your ears.
How's he going to hear us?
Uh-huh. Oh, fuck.
Pokemon still looks whatever.
It looks a little bit better. There's more. There seem to be more characters and Pokemons going on in the open world than
they've
before.
Said, and this will be the first Pokemon, I believe, that this has happened with, that not all of the previous Pokemon will be in it. And people seem pissed off about that. Right. Not even seem. I'm going to go as far as to say are pissed off about it.
Okay.
Which I think is fair enough. But New Zelda...
You think it's fair enough to be pissed off about not having all the Pokemon in a game?
Because it's such a staple of the thing, and they explicitly said, the company said, like, it's like we don't have the budget and the time. And they're like, no, but you are a bad company. You keep mismanaging this shit. And I don't know enough about it, but I'm going to believe those internet comments.
Okay. All right.
Breath of the Wild sequel did have me go like, cool.
But obviously the thing that we all thought was the best was Mario and Sonic 2020 Olympics. Right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Tokyo Olympics 2020, the home of Mario, the home of Sonic.
Sega is from Tokyo?
Yeah. They'll surely be great with a home field advantage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's pick a game of the show each. What do you reckon? Mine's Doom Eternal. I've said that. Doom is fucking rad. I like Doom. It's a good game. The first one and the second one. Doom 3 is okay. Doom 4, which was in 2016, is fucking awesome. This game looks the same as that. That is my official Adam Knox Xbox game of the show.
Okay. Mine's Gears Pop. I still think Cyberpunk 2077 looks like it could be my favorite game ever when it comes out. So I got to say that.
Hell yeah. Tommy, what did you like?
There's a lot of stuff I'm looking forward to playing, but there's nothing that really leaps out at me as being like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yep. I honestly struggle there's a good chunk of things that I'm equally excited for, but there's no one that's like out ahead. Like it's honestly hard to pick anything as a standout.
That's fair. And my choice is not based on E3.
Yeah. It is a real wheel spinner of a year here, but hopefully that means that next year it's all this fucking crazy shit.
Totally.
On these new consoles.
That's the thing. I think the best way to phrase this, and I think I'm making this up, it's like a new generation of consoles.
Right. Like how Pepsi was for the new generation.
Yes.
Am I remembering that correctly? Was it Pepsi?
I don't know.
That was for the new generation. And it was like Britney Spears drinks Pepsi. So it's for the new generation.
And Beyonce.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't remember.
Yeah, but we were saying this last year about E3. Like that it felt like a bit of a wheel spinner and that, next year will be the big one where stuff starts to, and we're still, we're still there. We're still not.
I mean... one element of this could be also kind of weird that Call of Duty wasn't shown at all in a public way. I guess because they have like a Sony contract sort of relationship.
And they did show a bunch of it like 2 weeks ago or something,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah, that's true. The extended, compared to the past, development time that video games require maybe doesn't lend the business to having this yearly showing anymore or any sort of strict time frame. Because E3 demos were always fucked to get together
right.
by all accounts.
Right.
So maybe it is time for like, because Nintendo were talking a big game about like crunch is fucked, fuck crunch, during this E3. Maybe it's time to let it go. Maybe it's had a good run, mostly. Fell over at the end.
Yeah.
Hit its face. It's all bloody and dying. And you've got to go like, well, time to put the pillow over your face, throw a washing machine out the window.
Well, I mean, the Game Awards exists now and way more leans into this is going to be a stupid theatrical reveal.
Yeah.
It's not so focused on like, what's the resolution of this game? And it's more focused on, let's have some fun, dumb fireworks.
Totally. And these days, put out a fucking trailer when you're ready.
Yeah.
I don't think Red Dead Redemption 2 ever had a fucking stage demo at E3.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest game in recent memory.
Yeah.
So like, just do it at your own pace. Make your games when you're ready.
Mm.
Don't hurt yourselves. Don't neglect your family.
Yes.
Look, E3 was fun, but we don't need it anymore.
I agree. I still want you to work hard on games though.
Yeah, work on them, but take the time you need. It's okay. I've got other stuff to do. I finished Outer Wilds this week.
Oh yeah.
It's one of the best games of the year, but I don't have time to talk about it because of fucking E3. So
yeah.
Maybe it's time to let it go.
Do you think we start to see other companies as of next year going, yeah, we're not going to bother now anymore either?
Absolutely. I think we see every company doing their own State of Play, Nintendo Direct equivalent.
Yeah. I reckon if Sony doesn't come back next year, it's done.
Yeah.
And everyone else will follow suit afterwards.
I mean, why would they? They can just rent a theater and do their own massive production for their own games.
Or fucking point an iPhone at fucking someone and say, hey, how you doing? My name's Ubisoft, and this is Watch Dogs 9, Ghost Recon 5, Rainbow Six 1,
and Assassin's Creed 13.
4,000. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is just dumb because this one, not the same.
There's more negative press coming out of it than positive, and that's just the opposite of what it is there for.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like we said, nothing looks bad. Like, there's still plenty of stuff that looks like it's going to be fun, and there's like, especially like the back end of the year, there's a lot of stuff that I'm really excited to play, but it was a lot of it just done in a kind of pretty underwhelming way for this week.
Yep, agreed.
Well, it's the most wonderful time of year. It's video game Christmas.
Yes.
This video game Christmas, Dad got a little too drunk and he broke all the presents.
All right, well, we'd better wrap it up for another week. Thanks for listening. We got filthycasuals.com.au for links to the live shows. Melbourne on July the 13th, Sydney July the 21st. More details on Sydney are going to be coming up soon. We've got the Doom commentary up on the Bandcamp, so check that out. It's a dollar or more, whatever you feel like paying. It's a lot of fun to do. It'll be a lot of fun to listen to, so check that out. We've got the Patreon. You can support us on that if you like the show and would like to chip in. You can get an extra episode of this every week. Boys, as always, it's been a pleasure, and go fuck yourselves.
Is that the new ending?
Yes. All right. I'm hitting stop.
No, that's directed at you. That's not to the listeners. Cool. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
boys, it's been a pleasure, but go fuck myself at filthycasualsworldtour.biz.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.